Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Financial freedom is what we talked about last week. Today we're going to talk about financial faithfulness, and next week we're going to talk about financial fruitfulness. This is all part of a series called Kingdom Finances. If you'd like a copy of the notes, they're on the app. So that will be from last week. Today they're live already for today's message. And so you just open the app, go to the bottom right-hand corner. It says more. Click on that. You'll go to sermon notes and we'll be away. But last week I talked about financial freedom, about heading out of debt. And the scriptures that we talked about, because it's a tough thing to get out of debt. Once you get in, you don't get out as quickly as you got in. And sometimes debt just amasses, and it's like I talked about financial freedom last week, about being out of debt. We're all out of debt today. Often doesn't work that way, but it is heading out of debt. And we talked about we need God's help to do that. And at the conclusion of our service, we prayed and said, Lord Jesus, help us on the pathway. And here's the verses that we used. Psalm 16:11 says, you show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You will show me the path of life. Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delights in our way. When our steps are ordered by the Lord, God's pleasure is on us when we walk in that way. And then the last one we said was Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just or the righteous is like the shining sun that shines even brighter into the perfect day. There's this progressive brightness that takes place as we're on the path that the Lord has for us. So we're not in it on our own. God has a pathway for us, specifically even out of debt, a pathway of life. So we need to partner with him and follow his direction. So today, though, we're going to talk about financial faithfulness, and it's primarily about tithing. Some churches are very hesitant to talk about finances because the abuse that we've seen churches get into over money. But I really think that it is important to not neglect to talk about finances in church because of the tremendous grip that they can have on us. God wants us to live free. And I love the phrase found in John chapter 8, verse 36. It says, therefore, if the Son has set you free, the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, when Jesus was saying this, he was specifically talking about sin. If you commit sin, then you're a slave to sin. But Jesus can set you free from being a slave to sin. From being under its grip and under its authority and under its power. Jesus can release you so you no longer live powerless. It means you have a choice now because sin no longer reigns. Sin no longer has the final word. Jesus sets us free. You're free to choose. But we as Christians, we know and understand when he sets us free to choose, it doesn't mean to choose just to do whatever we want and to live however we want. It means we are now free to choose the right path. We're no longer under the grip or control or sway of sin. We choose to live on the path that God has for us. You're free to choose. Deuteronomy tells us this. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And the freedom that Jesus gives us, listen to this, here it is. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. I've given you a choice. That's what Jesus does when he releases us out of the power of sin having the final word, we get to choose. Choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So we get to choose freedom in lots of areas of our life by what we do or what we don't do. Last week I talked about financial freedom, but financial freedom is not only if you're free of debt because you have enough money, But I really think it has to do with your freedom from the grip of money. There are people who have lots of money who are bound, who are not free. The amount of money that you have or don't have does not determine if you are bound or free. People with lots can be bound and people with little can be free from the grip. Anybody remember what the first of the Ten Commandments is? No other gods. We'll have no other gods before me. God first. And when it phrases it like that, God first, it doesn't mean, and then we allow all a bunch of other gods as well. It's much like Audrey doesn't want to be my number one. She wants to be my only one. Right? And so when it talks about first, it's talking about he is the only God. And so we need to place him first in our lives. And as Shauna led us a few moments ago, Jesus, I invite you into my life. We didn't say just my life. We said into every area of my life. And so when we talk about finances, we say, Lord Jesus, be Lord of my finances. And one of the ways that we get to place him first in our finances, one of the ways that we get to walk in financial freedom, is the very first thing that we do is tithe. And tithing means giving 10% of our income to the Lord. We are free to do this because money doesn't have a grip on us. The text in Malachi that sometimes has been taught in a very harsh way and sometimes twisted, but we're going to look at today, that invites us to watch what happens when we tithe. It's this, Malachi 3:10. Now God pours out a blessing. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. And some have twisted that and essentially taught this is the motivation for giving. You give to get. The problem is, this is not the motivation of why we give. This is the consequences of what happens when we give. We don't give to get. The problem is, God has already blessed us. And if the motivation is getting, that doesn't sound like God. That sounds like greed. I'm giving to get. The heart motivation, that's not why we give. And that's not why we tithe. We don't give to get. We tithe that we might receive anything. We tithe because we have already received. We don't tithe to receive anything. We tithe on what we have already received. And we're expressing our thanks. And so we're so grateful that God has given us something to give. When our kids were little, I would take them to the store for them to buy a present for Audrey, for a birthday, or for Mother's Day, or for a Sunday school teacher. And we'd go to the store, and they would pick out the gift, and then they would go to the bank of Dad, and I would fund it. But there was never a moment where I thought, or that they thought, this gift was from me, this gift was from them. But I gave them something, so they would have something to give. I gave them the money, so they'd have something to give. And God does that very same thing for us. He funds us so we might have something to give. Some might say, well, God didn't give me the money. My job did. I worked hard for it. Okay. How'd you get the job? Well, God gave it to you. No, I went to school. I got my degree. I did that. I put in the time. Okay. Who gave you the ability to learn? I mean, we can play that game all day long and just keep going back and back and back. And do you know where it ends up? Do you know where whatever string we pull on, where it ends up? Back to God. God's the source. He's the source of our income. But loved ones, he never gave us it all to keep. He only gave us 90% to keep. And even that we need his guidance on. When our children were younger and they were in youth, going to youth group, and sometimes there was an event that cost some money. Three kids in youth, it was a $5 touch that youth night. And so I gave one of them, and I'm not going to tell you which one, because my son would be sad, because he was the oldest. but she may be watching online right now. Now, when I use my kids as illustrations, I got to cough up $5. So I'm going to, Robin, there you go, is your name. Give Robin the $20. Sorry, Em. I would give her a $20 bill. And you know what? Youth was three kids, $5 each, $15. Give her a $20 bill, and I would say what? Bring me the change. Bring me the $5. Here's what happened. Even though I gave them a $20 bill, gave her a $20 bill, I never gave her $20. I entrusted her with $20. I entrusted her with the $20. I never gave her $20. I gave her a $20 bill. I said, bring me the change. I've given you $15. God has never given us 100% of our income. He has entrusted us with 100% of our income. But he never said, it's all yours. He said, bring me back 10. And tithing is an issue of trust. And sometimes I think we get a little turned around on it and we think, in tithing, can I trust God? And I don't think that is the primary issue of tithing. I think the trust issue is, can God trust us? He has not given us 100% of our income. He has entrusted us with 100% of our income. Regardless of how much or how little, we are called to be faithful. We're called to be faithful in the little, and we'll be called to faithful in the much. And he's made it so brilliantly equal for all his kids. It's not about an amount. It's about a percentage. Tithing means 7%. Pardon me. Tithing means, I just saw my notes. I was going to say, you will never hear at Coffee and the Clergy or as we move toward Membership Sunday, Cornerstone Church, home of the 7% tithe. Right, 7% for the first 3 months. That is not it. It's not Tithe Relief Sunday. Tithe means 10%. I need two volunteers from, and I'll tell you what you're going to do. Just going to come up here and stand and we're in a line. We're going to figure it out, and we're going to just walk through tithing a little bit. I need two volunteers from here, this section. I need two volunteers from this section, and I need one volunteer from this section. That's five. I'm good. I got it. All right. And come stand up here. One, two, three, four, five. And then I need number one, two, three, four, five. That's how we're going to do it. One, two, three, four, five. Pick a card, any card. This is not gambling. Okay, double your tithe.
This one.
You don't get to pick. Okay, one, two, three, four, five. You get to organize yourselves. Number one, who's one? Who's two? Three, four, five. Perfect. Okay. Should we? Okay. You got these?
You want nickels first?
No, I don't. No, I want the one I had first.
What did you have first?
The dimes. The dimes. Okay, hang on. Okay, good. Okay, Gordon.
Yes.
Face this way. I am only playing, acting the place of God. But the source here, we can get rid of this. Dimes. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, oops, eight, nine, ten. God gives them to you a little better than that. He has 10 dimes. Listen, tithing is 10%. It is a dime on every dollar. What are you going to give back to God? Off you go. Nichols? Okay. And you can be seated wherever you are. Thank you, Gordon. You did a marvelous job. He tithed a dime on every dollar. Now, here's the problem. These are nickels. A dime on every dollar. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Now, Gord gave me a dime back. What are you going to give me back?
One.
10%. He gave a dime. She only gave me a nickel. Same percentage. It's a dime on every dollar, but she only had 50 cents, so she gives me one. Kathy, you did a marvelous job. Well done, well done. You get to keep it. That's yours. Porters. Look at that. God's not requiring more. Okay. We're up to quarters. See, we went from dimes to nickels, but quarters. Colleen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How much is that?
$2.50.
What you gonna do?
$2.50. I don't know.
Just one.
One?
Perfect.
That's
perfect.
It?
You get to keep nine. I get one. You get to keep nine.
Nine.
Oh, that's good.
We got dropped.
That's good.
Wow.
You can be seated. Well done. Well done. All right. She coughed up 25 cents.
Wow.
5 cents, 10 cents? How is that fair? Because it's only a dime on every dollar. That's all it is. Doesn't matter how much it is tied, and that's all it is. Quarter. Oh, it's not quarters. It's loonies. You ready?
Wow.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, $10. We've seen a dime. We've seen a nickel. We've seen a quarter. How many do I get? One. It's a dime on it. Those are yours to keep. Okay, so this is the moment you've been waiting for. We don't have pennies anymore. So if this was Family Feud and Lisa's team had won, Steve Harvey would say, now it's time to play for big money.
I'll take 20.
So I went to the bank this morning, and I knew that I needed 10 of something. So I said to the Lord, whatever 10... tens there are at the bank machine, I'm going to get out and give to whoever. And that's why we did this randomly. So she's going to get the big money. So I looked to see, are there 10 fives? Are there 10 tens? Are there 10 20s? And that's where I ended, because I thought, if I need 10 50s, we're going to Pastor Kathleen. So we're up to $5 bills. I checked. Now, I checked for the tens, and there were no tens just after I pulled all this money out. And so,
okay, we'll do
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. What are you going to do?
I'm guessing I give you back one.
$5.
What a deal.
Where you go. Tithing. It's 10%. Whether you have a little or whether you have a lot. Somebody gave a nickel. Somebody gave $5. Had a dime, had a quarter. Whether we went up to 50s, whether we went up to 100s. Whatever you have been entrusted with, you get to keep 9 out of 10. It is so disproportionate. Well, that's not fair. Right, and who gets the short end of that? It's only a dime on every dollar, and if you have 1,000, I know 100 looks like a lot. And when you have 10,000, 1,000 looks like a lot. But it is the exact same. It's a dime on every dollar. And that's why tithing is not so much a financial issue, it's a faithfulness issue. The math isn't hard. You just move the decimal one to the left. It's not about greed. It's about grip. I have known so many marvelous, loving Christians. Love the Lord. Love people. Finances are tight. And don't tithe, and it's not an issue of greed, because they're so generous in so many ways. It's an issue of grip. Can I trust the Lord? But we are not trusting him. It's not giving to get. We are simply giving what we have already received. And we're saying it is not 100% ours. He has entrusted us with 100%, but he has never given it to us. Sometimes you will hear preachers say, return the tithe. Don't just give. It is returning to the Lord what is his. We're going to look at some verses today in Genesis chapter 14. If you turn there, if you have your Bibles, if you have your devices, if you follow along on the app. Tithing is not just connected to money, it's connected to our understanding of God. Genesis 14, long before Leviticus showed up with tithing, Abram, who would become Abraham, had been promised that God would bless him. Back in Genesis 12, God would bless him. In you and through you, all the families of the earth, all the nations are going to be blessed. To your descendants, I'll give this land. God's going to extend the blessing far beyond Abram. But he had a nephew named Lot. Lot lived in Sodom. War broke out, and in the midst of the battle, Lot was taken. Lot was plundered. Sodom was taken. Sodom was plundered, and Lot was taken with the invading king. Genesis 14:11 says this. Then they, the invaders, took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son. It's his nephew. So a couple of times it's going to say his brother, but we understand that just that general phrase, it's his nephew. Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshel, the brother of Aner. And they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother, Lot, his nephew, was taken captive, he armed his 318 servants who were born in his house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night. He and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. Then he brought back, so then Abram brings back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot, his goods, as well as the women and the people. Then the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveth, which is the king's valley. And his return from the defeat of Cheddar, not the cheese, Laomer, and the kings, he was the big cheese, and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest, he was the priest of God Most High, this king of Salem. We would know, and most accurately, I think, articulate that Salem was actually Jerusalem, and that this Melchizedek was the king of peace. And he brings out, after the victory, after the people have been redeemed, have been rescued, he brings out this meal of bread and wine. Does that sound familiar? Bread and wine for this communion moment. We will discover in the Psalms and Hebrews that Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek, that this is pointing towards Jesus. He's the priest and he's the king. And Genesis chapter 14, verse 19 says this. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. There is a theology in here we can't miss. God Most High is higher than anyone. He's higher than any other thing. It has to do with authority and power and position, God Most High. And he says this, possessor of heaven and earth. Some versions will say creator. It means originator and owner. Possessor of heaven and earth, creator, originator, and owner. It's all God's. Heaven and earth, it's his. And he is still the possessor of heaven and earth. He is still the creator, and he can still create. Not just invent. He can create ex nihilo, something out of nothing. God is able to, and there wasn't, and there was. Let there be, and there was. And he can do that for us. He can make a way where there is no way. The way did not exist, but he makes it. Where there was no way. He is still the creator. He can do that for us, and he can do that for our finances. He can create something out of nothing. Genesis 14, verse 20, it says, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. He's saying this to Abram. Who has delivered your enemies where? Into your hand. It's now in his hand. The stuff, the people, it's in his hand. And then there's this phrase, and it's hard to know who's doing what, but Hebrews lets us know specifically who's giving what to who. It says, and he gave him a tithe of all. It is Abram tithing to Melchizedek. Scripture's very clear later on, very clear who's doing what. It's Abram tithing to Melchizedek. God brought you the victory. Remember, he said, God is the source of your victory, possessor of heaven and earth, God Most High. And he's given this into your hand. Now what are you going to do with it?
What are you going to do with what God has given into your hand? And he gave him a tithe of all. Abram delivered everything into, had everything delivered into his hand, and he took 10% of it and gave it to Melchizedek, an offering to the king and high priest, and priest. King and priest. Verse 21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I would not take anything that's yours, lest you say, 'I have made Abram rich,' except only what the men have eaten, and the portion of the men who were with me, Aner, Eshel, and Mamre. Let them have their portion. Give me the people, you can have the stuff. I have raised my hand." It means I've made a covenant. I have made a pledge to the God possessor of heaven and earth, the God Most High. God will bless me. He's already promised, Genesis 12. God will bless me, but my blessing, my increase, will not come from taking what is not mine. Because I've made a covenant with God. And that, dear one, is what tithing's all about. We will pass on the riches and the provision of this world and its economy and how it works. If somehow it means taking what is not ours, we will not do it because we are a covenant people with God. It's a heart of tithing. God said he'll bless us, and he already has. We don't tithe on what he hasn't given us. We only tithe on what he's already given us. Malachi will continue to say this. In Malachi 3:8, it says that we rob God. "Will a man rob God? Yet how have you robbed me? But you say, in what ways have we robbed you? For me, in tithes and offerings." How will we rob him? It's because we keep what is his. And verse 10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." We've already read this. "That there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you such a windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." I will pour out such a blessing. Church, I need to let you know, Cornerstone Church right now, we are living in a season of blessing. And we just had new offering envelopes printed, and guess what? We took building fund off of it. Don't give to the building fund. We've got enough. The building is completely paid for, and we've got money in the bank to pay for all the renovations we're going to do. God's blessing has been upon our church. And I'm not asking you to give. I'm not even asking you to give. That's not what this is about. But just so you know, we have enough money in the bank. God has blessed us. We are so grateful. We don't need your money to keep the lights on. We don't need your money. But we need to give to tithe, to be faithful before our God, so that there will be enough, so we can be blessed to be a blessing. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. But some people will say, I followed this scripture. Test me in this. Only time in scripture invites us to test the Lord. Test me in this and see if I won't do this. And people say, well, I did tithe and it didn't work. I tithe and the wheels fell off. When it says test me in this, it doesn't mean once. It doesn't mean like this. You know, yesterday, instead of eating a chocolate bar, I had a salad. I'm not healthy. Like, what's wrong? I'm still as unhealthy as I ever was. It's not about try it once and see. It's test me in this, that there is a pattern, a principle. Be faithful in this. Well, I tithe once. Okay. I can't tell you. Well, I guess I can't because I'm going to. I have been so blessed just beyond measure when I have seen. I remember years ago, somebody was at the church and they needed some help, and we had $25. And I remember giving them the $25 and God bless you. And I watched them go to the offering box and put in $2.50. And it was the widow's mite moment. It was watching them be faithful with $2.50. And my heart. I'm so grateful for the stories when people say, "I tithe, I didn't have it, but I tithed and I did it. And I went home and I found in the mail a check, and it was for the exact amount, or it was for 10 times the amount, or all that. And those are great, marvelous stories, and we celebrate and thank you, Jesus. But man, sometimes that derails us too, because it doesn't happen to us. We tithe and what happened? It's because I think we live what I call, we look for the second window miracle. You know, the second window miracle, I call it, because I think of this. When we go to McDonald's, we get to the first window, we pay. By the time we get to the second window, it better be ready. Do not send me into the parking lot. Do you mind waiting? Yes, I do. That's why I came here. Do you mind waiting? Do you know nothing about me? Customers, like, yes. It's a promise of provision. Test me in this. But we don't get to choose the provision. He is a miracle-working God, but we don't get to choose the miracle. Malachi 3:11 says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." I rebuke the devourer. I looked up that word devourer. It just means eating. It just means the eater, the one who comes to eat away and eat away and eat away. Sometimes life is just like that. Man, Audrey and I have experienced that, where just everything seems to go wrong. The washer breaks, the car, something happens, and we get an extra bill. And it's like, and I say to her, we should start tithing. But we are tithing. But sometimes it just rains on the just and the unjust, and you got to figure it out. But we still say, Lord, you're going to be first in our lives, and you're going to be first in our finances. And he doesn't call us to only be faithful in the 10%. We still need to be good stewards of the 90%. Tithing, it's all about sacrifice of worship. Our giving is not out of our excess or our leftovers. Our giving to the Lord is first. Tithing is first. It's not out of, if I get to the end of the month and see if there will be enough. And it's not out of our excess. It's not out of our leftovers. It's out of, we tithe first. Don't delay. God first in our finances. And I'd really encourage you to not decide to tithe every time you get paid. Settle it once, because it gets exhausting. If you have to make the determination every check, settle it once. Lord, you're going to be first in my finances. As a four-square church, we tithe. Tithes and offering. Every tithes and offerings that comes into the church, we take 10% of that and we send it to our national office. And that funds ministry all across Canada. It funds other ministries. But we, 10% of what comes into the church, we give it away. Because we believe in tithing. And guess what? We gladly do that. We gladly give. First things first, without being legalistic, the very first thing I do when I get the check is I tithe. I don't look at the account. I don't pay the utilities. I don't all of that. The very first thing, Lord, I'm giving to you. Scripture says the tithe is holy. Leviticus tells us that. All the tithe of the land, whether it's the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, wherever the income source is, it's the Lord's. Holy to the Lord. If I only have a little, we're going to be faithful in a little. God will entrust us with much. You'll never be faithful in much if we're not faithful in little. Kingdom finances. Get headed out of debt. Kingdom faithfulness. Tithe. Next week, kingdom fruitfulness. Blessed to be a blessing. And I will tell you how I was able to withdraw that $50 out of the account, because there's an account that we put in about blessed to be a blessing. Financial freedom, financial faithfulness, but a financial fruitfulness. God wants to bless us with all three. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace in our lives. God, thank you for all that you have given us. And we want you first. First in our hearts and first in our finances. God, any place where we have failed, God, we thank you for your grace and for your forgiveness. And we recognize that when we give, we look like you. You are generous. And so, God, help us to be faithful. We trust you, God, and we want you to be able to trust us. God, and for anyone here where it's just like tithing has not been part of their life, doesn't mean they're not generous, they're not kind, they're not loving you. God, where that has been a struggle or a grip, God, I pray, oh God, just for your great grace. where they look at their finances and say, I can't live without that 10%. God, I pray for your blessing upon their lives and that that grip would not hold them. No condemnation. But God, as we are a covenant people, may you be first in our lives. And your word says that you will supply all of our need according to your riches in Christ glory in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, please help us to be faithful and see your blessing and provision on our lives and finances. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.